So now that we have our room lights up and I can really see everybody here, who here already has their Christmas decorations out? I'm assuming, really? A bunch of you haven't yet? Not up? Out of the boxes? Okay. Who put their, now if you're like the Thompson household, who put up their Christmas decorations last week? No, really? Are you serious? You had your Christmas decorations up in August. Yeah. But you put some more up. I see it's kind of like a progression. Right, okay. So in the Thompson household, we put up our Christmas decorations usually right after Thanksgiving. And it's just one of the traditions that we have. Now, who here puts up a Christmas tree in a given year? Now, I know some Christians don't because, I mean, truth be told, Christmas trees actually have their origin actually originally a pagan symbol. I know, don't hurt me. It's just telling you the truth. But our spiritual forefathers and foremothers, they stole it and they gave it to Jesus. Jesus healed it, made it better. And apparently the pagans don't want it back. So we've been hanging on to it, and that's good. But I do respect those Christians that just don't want to be involved in Christmas trees just because of that reason. But I've got a theory about Christmas trees. See, there are two types of Christmas trees. There are pretty trees, and there are ugly trees. Now, some of you are part of a pretty tree household. Now, you passed some pretty trees coming into church today. Like, you see out in the foyer with our decorating team? Didn't they look great? Those are some pretty trees. Because you see, like, the colors all coordinate. You know, the lights and the ornaments, they all kind of go together. Like, might be a theme. Okay, and no shame in this, but who here has a pretty tree at home? Pretty trees. That's good. I respect you, but the Thompson house, we got an ugly tree. Now, I asked my wife permission, so you don't need to look at her, okay? You know, it's okay. I got permission to share the story. Yes, she's cool with this. Because, see, let me just put it, this is the tree, our Christmas tree this year. Those of you who are at the Monday Night Book Club, you're going to see this tree tomorrow. Now, on our Christmas tree, there is no color scheme. You know, everything mismatches. It is like, it's like a yard sale, right? That's how we do it. Now, and there's a reason why. There's a reason why. Because, see, on our Christmas tree, it tells a story. We add two or three or just a few ornaments every year, and a lot of times those ornaments are like pictures. Next slide. Do you see that? That's about her about age 8 or 9. I can't remember exactly, but we have lots of those kind of ornaments. Like ours is the Christmas tree. You see like sand dollars, and there's like a decorated pickle. There's like, and every single ornament, it there's a story behind it. It came from somebody. There's a bunch of peanuts ornaments because my mother-in-law just loved peanuts. Awesome. You know, there's every ornament, it's got a story. And so when we decorate the tree, it's just like going back through our family history. Anybody else relate to that? You do that kind of thing? Like, you're a proud ugly tree owner. Come on, hands up. Yeah! Ugly trees. Yeah. That's good. I still respect you, pretty tree people. That's nice. You've got class. We got story. Yeah. And now the reason I bring that up is because today I want to actually combine sort of three themes. One is a symbol, the symbol of the tree, with a song. Actually, I should see that throughout this the Christmas series, every Sunday we're going to be looking at a favorite Christmas carol, and looking at either the theology behind that carol or the story behind that carol. So I want to link the symbol of the tree to the story of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, one of my favorite Christmas hymns, actually one of the oldest Christmas hymns in our hymn book. It has its origins back to at least the 1500s, possibly, some historians say, as far back as the 1100s. It's an old song. To list the symbol of the tree with the story, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, which actually has something to do with the tree, with the prophecy that the song is referring to. And that's where, if you got your Bibles, I want you to open them up to Isaiah chapter 11. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 10. You can also find it in the Bible app, or you know, you can go to events in the Bible app. You can find it there. Or if you go to the church website, you see all that, or just, you know, from the front page, just like swipe one box right, and you'll get all of the notes. But I want your Bibles open. So as we get to know this song a little bit better, and we get to know some of the prophecies behind this song, and in particular the symbol of the tree, because now technically there isn't a Christmas tree exactly in Scripture, but there sort of is. And it's an ugly tree. It's a little like this, combined with this. And that's going to make sense in just a few minutes. There is a Christmas tree in Scripture of sorts. You find it in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. It's an ugly tree, but it tells a story. But first, O come, O come, Emmanuel. I got my piano out, so they let me play in the band again. It's so fun. Okay. Let's see. Can we turn the piano up just a touch? I promise not to like blow them out or anything. Can you hear it? Okay. I just love this hymn because it's all minor key. This isn't one of them happy songs. This is sad. Kind of pensive. Kind of like how sometimes Christmas, it's a combination of happy feelings and sad feelings. It's a combination of longing and expectation, as well as celebration. Now, you probably heard the first verse, so let's just kind of go through that. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. That mourns in lowly exile here. The word exile, that's kind of important. Hang on to that, okay? Until the Son of God appears. Then it goes major for just a second. Just hopeful. It gets happy for just a moment. Rejoice. Back to sad. Rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Now you've heard that verse, and you probably have sung it a number of times. You might not know the second verse very well, and that's where our story is going to land today. O come, thou rod of Jesse free, our own from Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come. Oh, Israel. So in that verse, O come, thou rod of Jesse free. Could we put those words up for just one more moment? Come, thou rod of Jesse. Who's that? Now, you sort of know the answer, right? Because we're in church, which means the answer is probably... But have you made the link yet? Come, thou rod of Jesse. Come, free your own from Satan's tyranny. And so that's where we're going to make our final leap. Back into this ancient prophecy that talks about the rod of Jesse. And it takes us back to the image of the tree. Okay, got your Bibles open? Did you find it yet? Okay, so we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 11. Now, here's a little bit of backstory from it, okay? So because, of course, before Isaiah 11 becomes Isaiah 10, and in chapters 8 and 9, God is giving this prophecy to the nation of Israel. See, Israel, they have been rebelling against the Lord for many, many years. They've had a long string of really bad kings, and God is telling the nation he's about to remove his hand from them, his hand of protection. You realize that the worst thing that God can do is to let you go on your own? He's removing his hand of protection from the nation of Israel, and the kingdom of Assyria is about to come in and wipe them out. They are about to be humbled in the most profound way possible. So he's telling them that in Isaiah 8, in Isaiah 9, and then in Isaiah 10, the Lord prophesies that after he has removed his hand from Israel and the nation and the Assyrian Empire has come through and wiped them out, God is going to bring his judgment on the Assyrian Empire. And we end up with this image. 10 verses 33 and 34. See, the Lord Almighty will lop off the boughs, those are trees, with great power. The lofty trees will be felled. The tall ones will be brought low. He will cut down the forest thickets with an axe. Lebanon will fall before the Mighty One. Think of all the times where trees show up in Scripture, right? Trees in the Bible, they're a sign of prosperity and blessing, even a sign of life. Like, remember Genesis chapter 2? Right at the center of the garden, there was a tree of what? Life. Turn to Revelation chapter 22. As God has restored the whole world, the living water is flowing out of the kingdom of God, out of the throne of God, rather. And on both sides of the river, there are trees of what? Life. Trees are good. Trees are a sign of ecological health. They're also a sign of economic health. Think of how trees are linked to prosperity, or the absence of trees is linked to poverty and suffering. Can you imagine where our valley would be without our trees and the people who care for our trees? Can you imagine? I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of the island that contains the Dominican Republic and Haiti, but if you look at that island from low Earth orbit, you can literally see the border, right? Can you see it on the screen? The Dominican Republic is a place that I hope you get a chance to go on there on vacation. People all around the world do. And Haiti is one of the hardest places on the earth to live. And you can see it from low Earth orbit because the Dominican Republic, on the same island is covered in what? Trees. And Haiti? Desolate. Very few. As a result of the poverty, the trees have been cut down. The ecosystem is hurting. The economy is hurting. When the trees fall, the people suffer. And so we have this image at the end of Isaiah chapter 10, an image maybe a little bit like this. And all the trees have been lopped down. Have they been cut down? It's like a hurricane has come through. There's no trees anywhere. Nothing but stumps. And that's where the prophecy begins. So in this wasteland, this clear-cut, this post-apocalyptic, like, treeless land, or land where all the trees have been destroyed, comes this prophecy. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. Now, we use the term shoot, like one of those little, you've probably seen that. In the forest, after trees have been cut down, there's sometimes little shoots that will come. You've seen that. Now, if you lived back in the 1500s, do you know what you would call that little shoot? A rod. A rod will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. Out of a place of destruction, there is brand new life. And out of this new life comes a new leader. And this leader, the Spirit of the Lord, will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. This is a radically different kind of leader. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with, what's the word? Righteousness. He will judge the needy with justice. He will give decisions for the poor of the earth. See, all sorts of human leaders, they'll come in and they'll say they're for the poor and then go and exploit them anyways. But not this one. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness, the sash around his waist. This is a truly righteous leader. Who's he talking about? Do you know? Jesus. A leader so different. A leader so righteous that everything changes. Then we get to the other half of this prophecy. The wolf will lie down with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. We're going right back to the Garden of Eden, where the whole predator-prey relationship has now been reversed. Where the animals are no longer afraid of people anymore. And the cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den. The young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse will stand. And who's the root of Jesse? Jesus will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be, what's the word? Glorious. The resting place will be glorious. It's a prophecy to Israel. You are in a place of destruction right now. You are in a place of desolation right now. Do you feel like you're in a place of desolation right now? Maybe somewhat. Maybe in areas of your life. Out of those places of desolation, Israel, there's going to be a new life. Because I'm sending a new leader. And from that new leader, it's going to come a whole new world. Now, there's kind of an irony about this prophecy, especially given to the nation of Israel, because you see, we need to talk about who Jesse is. Now, I realize we've already made the link between Jesse and Jesus, but let's just go a little bit deeper. Now, anybody know who Jesse is in the Bible? David's father. Some of you are thinking like, Jesse's girl. Nope, that's not the Bible. But it's a good song. Yeah, so Jesse is David's dad. David, that first really, truly great king of Israel. And God had given a promise to David near the end of his reign. He said this in 2 Samuel. Let's go to the next. 2 Samuel 7:16. Your house and your kingdom, God said to David, will endure before me forever. Your throne will be established forever. And so Israel, they know about this prophecy. But in this moment, there's kind of this funny irony because you see, just a couple generations after David, the kingdom divided between north and south, Israel being the northern kingdom, Judah being the southern kingdom. Now the kingdom of Judah, they kept a Davidic king on the throne, but not Israel. They totally turned their back. They haven't had a Davidic leader for generations. All they've had is kings, everyone seemingly worse than the one before. And that's why they're in such a jam right now. That's why their nation is facing destruction. And it seems like God didn't keep his promise. You said you'd be with us, Lord. You said you'd have a leader from the throne of David on the throne. And what? I don't see it. God's reminding the nation that sometimes, even though on the surface, we don't see God at work. But you need to look somewhere else. You need to look below the surface. You need to look underground. You need to go to the roots. You know, sometimes on the surface of our life, we can see destruction, we can see desolation, we can see hopelessness, but that doesn't mean that God's not there. Oftentimes it's underneath, it's underground, it's down in the roots. And a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his, what's the word? Next slide, please. A shoot will come up. Somebody pull Rick. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and from his, what's the word? Roots. From his roots. His roots, a branch will bear fruit. New life can be found in the most unusual of places, can't it? See, 500 years after this prophecy, a young carpenter's family will find themselves in a horrible political situation. The Romans are in control. They want to tax the people even more, and so they have this wonderful idea of having a census so everyone can be counted, so that everyone can be taxed, and everybody is given orders to go back to their ancestral hometown. And Joseph, who comes from the family line of David, will make his way back to the city of David, which is known as Bethlehem. He and his young wife, who's expecting, was going to find the city so filled with people and his ancestral home so packed with people that there isn't even room for them. And Mary goes into labor. What else could go wrong? And there in that place, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. Some 30-some years later, that same little boy, now a man, it'd be late on a Friday afternoon. And the men and women who had been following him for about 3 years at this point, who truly believed he was a different kind of leader, he was a different Messiah, they thought he was. They're going to walk away from a place called Golgotha, where their teacher had just been executed on the Roman cross. They'd watch his body be taken down from that cross, from that tree, and laid in a tomb. And it looked like everything was over. All they could see was destruction and loss and hopelessness. But a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. Do you hear me? You hear this metaphor? You see where we're going? There are all these places in your life. It's all these places in the world. It can feel like we've been stumped. Places where you might feel like you've been knocked down, laid low. Places in your life and in mind that God has allowed the consequences of our own folly and sin to catch up with us. And we find ourselves facing destruction, desolation, feel like we've had the axe taken to our life. You ever felt like that? Maybe somebody today even feels like that right now. It's a reminder that in those places, God's not finished yet. Just need to look a little bit deeper. There's still life in the roots. And a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. It's a really ugly tree. But there's more strength in that shoot than you could ever imagine. From that new life, from that new work will come a new leader. And that new leader will usher in a new world. You want your life to change, orient your life around a new leader. And I'm not talking about a human one. You're not going to vote ourselves into worldwide righteousness. But there is a leader who can bring true justice and who is restoring the world. And so we wait, we long, we pray, we trust. In your life this morning, I'd like you to take a moment just to think about the areas in your life that are like a stump. There are things that God is trying to do in you. There are habits he's trying to put to death. There are patterns he's trying to put to death. There are things in your life that God is willing to have end. And you know, when destruction happens, it is never fun. It's never fun having areas of our life find the axe. Repentance is a beautiful thing, but it is a painful process, isn't it? But I'd like you to be thinking about, what are the areas in your life? What are the old habits, the old patterns, the old sins you've been hanging on to, perhaps, that need to be put to death? To let those stumps be stumps. And what are the areas in your life where God is bringing new shoots? Where are the places in your life where he's doing something new? Because very often, they come out of the very same source, don't they? What is God putting to death in your life that he can bring renewal? So, I'd like to lead us in a bit of a time of prayer. And I just want to invite you to maybe take a moment just to bow your heads before the Lord. And if it's helpful, even just to enter in kind of to a posture of open your hands up before God, that can be a good way to do it. And be thinking about, what are the areas in your life that are like that stump? And he's inviting you to put it to death. He's inviting you to let it go. He's inviting you to give it to him. He's inviting you to walk away. And what are the areas in your life where he's doing something new? And if you've been following the wrong leader, you need to give your heart to Jesus in a new way this morning. This would be a great time to do that. Let's pray. God, thank you for the promise that we find in your word. that even in places that for us at times can feel like desolation, that can feel like loss, that can feel like death, that can feel like a stump, that you are true to your word, you're true to your promises, that you always hold on to your people, that there is life under the surface, that there is power and life in the roots. So, Lord, for those areas in our life this morning that are like stumps, we give them to you, Jesus. And just invite you, if something, as things come to mind, just under your breath or maybe whisper out those areas in your life that are dying, that he's calling you to let go of. And Lord, thank you that out of those places of creative destruction, you are bringing new life. Thank you for the new shoots. Thank you for the new hope. Thank you most of all for Jesus, this new leader who sees the world in a different way, who sees us in a different way, who brings true justice, true righteousness, and one day, true restoration to this broken world. Oh God, we give ourselves to you. Oh, come thou rod of Jesse free, thine own from Satan's teeth.